at alcavision.com.
The Beltway with the Baz, Ken Bassinet from Talk Radio News, to get the real scoop on what's happening in D.C. and, you know, frankly, how it affects all of us in our backyards across America. This was a big one. Wisconsin was ground zero, the battle of the unions, the Democrats, the Republicans. Remember that? It wasn't too long ago, right? And remember the whole recall thing? I guess there's some breaking news that I think you'll find interesting that Baz is all over. Baz, tell us about it.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Well, a couple of things. It wasn't all that long ago. The recalls, there were nine of them altogether in Wisconsin, happened over the past month, and the last two were last night, and they were the Democratic seats, and quite frankly, it was a cakewalk for the Democrats. But beyond that, apparently the two state Senate seats that Democrats picked up and all of those recall elections combined in Wisconsin this month have far-reaching ramifications. Now, word came down late in the day that Ohio GOP Governor John Kasich is ready to make a deal with unions to avoid a similar repeal vote in November. Now, like Wisconsin, the GOP-controlled state legislature in Ohio passed a union-busting law banning strikes and limiting rights and collective bargaining bennies like, for instance, health care, which I don't consider to be a benefit, considered to be part of the whole gig, for about 350,000 teachers, police officers, and other public workers. Well, the union successfully launched an effort to repeal the law by bringing the issue before the voters of Ohio in November. Now, there was a recent poll by Quinnipiac, actually, that showed 56% of Ohio voters want that collective bargaining law to be repealed. So you combine that with the fact that there was some momentum coming out of Wisconsin, and oh, by the way, the unions had about $7 million in their war chest ready for this fight, and Kasich's numbers are slipping. He can't afford this fight. So he's trying to bring the unions in as early as tomorrow to sit down and say, hey, let's rewrite this law rather than going through this whole thing. And the unions have the upper hand. Now, I've talked to a couple of sources in organized labor, being a third-generation organized labor person myself, and what they're telling me is, the leadership in Ohio is sort of 50-50 on this. Half of them are saying, let's hear what he has to say, and the other half are saying, you know what, we've got him where we want him, let's take him down. And, you know, I think that they'll sleep on it, and probably, you know, the wisdom is to at least, the wisdom that will prevail, I think, will be that they'll sit down and listen to what he has to say. But the big point is this, you know, the idea that the Tea Party supported Republicans had, and also the Koch brothers who finance all this stuff, very big anti-union Republicans, you know, their vision was to take one state after another like dominoes. Well, it looks like the last domino may have fallen, because if they can hold the ground in Ohio, you know, I don't know how they make any inroads in places like Pennsylvania or my home state of Massachusetts. And so I think it's a big victory today for unions. And quite frankly, they haven't had one like this in a long time.
Yeah, no kidding. And it definitely wasn't looking this way during some of the twists and turns that, let's face it, early going than what was going on in Wisconsin. It wasn't looking good at some point in this, even with so many of the sit-ins and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't looking great.
No, it wasn't, and that law did in fact pass, and frankly, the Republicans still have a one seat advantage in the Senate. But you know what? It's Wisconsin. Believe it or not, there are still some pretty mainstream Republicans in that state Senate, and you know they will. The Democrats might be able to lure a Republican over, to their side. I don't mean to join the party, but vote along with them. Especially since, you know, there's a lot of evidence there that the folks in Wisconsin, you know, really were not too pleased with Governor Walker's behavior or the anti-worker legislation that he turned into law. So, you know, yeah. I think it's probably what's happening in Ohio will probably spin back and affect Wisconsin, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. Speaking of spin, everybody's jumping on territory that used to belong just to Congressman Ron Paul from Texas, where Some people would say, oh, he's nutty when he would talk about money and the Fed. Now, everybody wants to own this, at least on the Republican side of the ledger anyway, some of what Paul said. They want to stand out there on that branch and say that, you know, hey, this is what I've thought all along. It's monopoly money or whatever. We saw the crazy comment from Rick Perry that got him in trouble on both sides, and you and I talked about that the last time around. But isn't it interesting what's happened, continuing that conversation with about Ron Paul, what's happened now and how some of his ideas have gone sort of mainstream?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's come full circle. It wasn't so long ago when people, you know, would use terms like nutty, crazy. And I think I did my whole conventional wisdom rap last night with you.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The conventional wisdom is now that this is actually the father of the Tea Party movement in terms of the fact that some of the things he was talking about were out there well before this Tea Party ever got created. And, you know, you have to fear. I mean, the pie is only so big. And, you know, all of these, you know, seven dwarfs running for, you know, the GOP nomination are going to take a sliver of the pie. And Ron Paul's going to have his. And the question is where is he going to take the votes from? Is he going to take it from Michelle Bachmann? Is he going to take votes from Governor Perry, the flavor of the month, you know? And, you know, more importantly, when he is out of the race, if he's out of the race, the fact of the matter is people are going to have to woo his delegates. Now, here's something we didn't touch on last night, and I realize a single vote hasn't been cast or a single caucus, you know, a person hasn't stood up yet in a single caucus. But nonetheless, when you have this kind of dynamic, it really isn't out of the question, even though the odds are against it. I still want to get out ahead of this thing and say, what if the Republicans have a brokered convention? What if nobody can hit that threshold before they go to their convention and everybody's got a certain amount of delegates? A guy like Ron Paul becomes very, very powerful, you know, and his folks are so loyal, they won't break.
Yeah, I agree
with you. They will hold until he says, okay, I'm releasing you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's a potential here for, I mean, you know, I'm going to be completely selfish here and just say, as a journalist who's been, you know, chasing these people around running for the White House since 1988, boy, would I love to see a brokered convention, you know. But you know my feeling. I wanted Paul to win the Ames straw poll just so we could bring an end to the Ames straw poll, you know.
Oh, no kidding. And that didn't happen. Barely, though. I mean, people forget
votes.
That. Yeah, that's it. People forget that and don't even talk about it. But he was right there neck and neck, absolutely.
Absolutely. And once again, what did the mainstream media do?
Didn't talk about it. Yeah.
They said, well, we all knew that he was, you know, he had very strong support here and his people are very loyal. But the conventional wisdom is he can't win. Well, folks, guess what? You know what real conventional wisdom is? When you have supporters who are very loyal and very organized, you're a pretty strong candidate, you know.
Absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see what he can do in New Hampshire, because as you know, it's not a Tea Party state.
No.
They pretend like it is, but no, they're live free or die Republicans, and live free or die Republicans are Democrats on any given election. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
An awful lot of people who will vote in the GOP primary voted for Barack Obama for president in 2008.
Yeah.
You know?
They didn't still say that, but they did, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Because you can move back and forth. It's one of those states where you can go in, you can vote, if you're as independent, you can go in. If you're a Democrat, you can go in and change your party affiliation, and you come out of there and it automatically changes. They do the same thing in Massachusetts now. It's actually pretty democratic, small D way of doing business, where it allows you to go in, vote any way you want, and then your party affiliation reverts back to what it was. Ahead of time. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Not that I can ever remember voting for a Republican.
Yeah, no. Baz, Talk Radio News, thanks so much. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Alan Olson with Midas Resources, senior gold and silver broker since 1978. Over the last 3,000 years, gold has been a storehouse of wealth and has survived nearly 500 paper fiat currencies. Since the 1970s, the fiat U.S. paper dollar has lost over 90% of its purchasing power and is decreasing every day. With the U.S. government that is bent on reckless spending, gold and silver are your only safe havens of protection for your hard-earned paper dollars. Please contact me, Alan Olson, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 127, with your questions or purchases. Let's work together to preserve your assets. 1-800-686-2237, extension 127. Again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 127.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Continuing down the path of what ails us, and that is politics in this country, come on, let's face it. I've never seen so many people so enraged in the entire time I've covered politics. Baz say there that he's been chasing after decades, and I've probably covered politics for just as long, not specifically presidential candidates, but politics on local level, state level, and of course on the national level. And yes, there have been many fights over lots of different things. There have been flare-ups over immigration. Nothing got solved locally and statewide and federally. And I've seen flare-ups over other things having to do with money and budgets on a state level, on an education level, that kind of stuff. But I don't think I've ever seen collectively this many people so incensed at what's going on or what's not really happening because of the people that they've elected, you know, choosing to not fix things way, way, way before they're broken. I mean, maybe that's the problem. Maybe this is what the people who go to Washington should adopt, the policy should be. Fix the things now that are broken. Fix them now. And it's the Band-Aid philosophy. I mean, if all the people that we elected in the Senate and Congress were plumbers, they'd be living in their cars if they even had a car, because they wouldn't be hired again for a second and third job. And you all know what I'm talking about. If you don't have a plumber and then suddenly have a problem and you call around and they rip you off because you get a bad plumber and they jack up the price and they can't fix the thing, or a week later the same thing's wrong, well, you're not going back to them. You start to shop around. And that's the mode we're all in. I really believe that. No matter what your politics, we're all in the shop around mode. That's why these conventions, especially the Republican convention in Tampa next summer, will be so intriguing. So intriguing. And you look for the hot buttons. Anybody who's running, I mean, that's what you want to tell people what they want to hear. So Michelle Bachmann says if she's elected, gas prices would fall to less than $2 a gallon. I saw that today and I thought, wow, how is she promising that? Now, I've got some theories on it because of where we are as far as oil's concerned and how we can dig up a bunch of our own and we don't have to rely on other sources. But what Bachmann says, and she was in a town hall meeting in South Carolina, that she would push energy policies that would put the prices at the pump way down to where they were. She's flat out saying, this is her campaign statement. Under President Bachmann, you'll see gasoline come down below $2 a gallon again. And it's obvious you would have to drill in Alaska, right? You'd have to drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And also offshore, you'd have to be back in the offshore game because it's tough. Now the regs are ridiculous, and, of course, a lot are sitting idle, and there's not more production, more permits, all that kind of stuff. That's not happening because it's just too much. It's not worth the development. Some of the companies can go someplace else and do it as far as leading up to getting, you know, to pumping. They can get it done so much cheaper someplace else. So the average gasoline price when President Obama took office was $1.79. At one point this year, you know, in the spring, we hit $4 a gallon, and even higher than that, like when I was in California, it was higher than that. In Chicago, it's higher than that. Now we're about $3.60. That will make you take notice if someone says that. If you are running, What is your hot button? What are you pressing to get people to want to elect you? And now, as we just talked about, everybody goes after the same Ron Paul red meat. And it's easy now to attack Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke policies and increasing the money supply and, you know, aka quantitative easing. When you see that, you know what it is. It means there's not a big sheet somewhere. Oh, how many pages of Benjamins do we pump out today? They don't do that. It's quantitative easing. So now it's easy. Rick Perry calls what he's doing almost treasonous. Bachmann didn't say that, but she said all they're doing is stealing from you. That you earn the money, you save the money. But this is old stuff. This is old dope. This is old to this show. This is years old to this show. And many others, I'm sure plenty of other people in talk radio have said that before. I'm sure some on the same network that I'm on have said that. Ron Paul has said that forever. He said that forever. Yeah, he has to get the credit for that. He was the one guy who didn't worry about pressing the button called the Federal Reserve. That was always his hot button. That was always what he said. If you elect me, this is what I think has to happen here. It's crazy what's going on with the government. And now this has become just fodder. I mean, this is just normal fodder. And yet, the one thing that's hardly ever touched is the illegal immigrants, the situation with the illegals in the country, and what are we doing, and really what's happening, how economically, United States, how much is this costing Arizona, Texas, California, and what's the answer? What's really being done? We heard about the wall. Where's that wall? Pieces of walls, right? So if you have For example, in the Lone Star State, where Rick Perry, I said this, I said the illegal issue could take him down as well as he tries to pursue this presidential path, right? He's not tough on illegal immigration. He's soft on illegal immigration. He could get the Hispanic vote, and I think that's what would help him, and I think that's what he's probably trying to dance around and manipulate. But that certainly doesn't go along with the other things that he's saying. It's like he's at a buffet and he's picking out a few choices here. But while he's been the governor of Texas, a lot of things have been allowed to flourish in that department, including higher education, the money to go to school, you know, the pathway there. So I think that would be something he would trip up on, because the wave isn't incredible. The in-state tuition law. I guess they say there were about 12,000 students in Texas in the university population that would benefit from the higher education. That's a lot. And so there's a lot of other kids that don't get that. And I think there is where he would be brought down. And he went after Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, too. And I think more people will become wise to some of the things that Rick Perry has said and done that trips him up, and eventually he pulls out of that race. So the hot button. What is the hot button for you? What would you like to hear a candidate say that might sway you in a different direction? Bachman goes after gasoline because that's a money thing that makes sense, right? But doing it is a different thing. That would mean, okay, boom, off, as she said, offshore drilling, we're going into Alaska, and that is music to a lot of people's ears, where we're missing money and there's still a way to do it and you're not harming anything if you're doing it with regulations that make sense. I mean, you're either doing it or you're not doing it. And at this point, we're not doing it. So while the Republicans are looking for the hot button, the thing that keeps them in the race and keeps people excited about them, you have news that the president is going to have a big economic speech in September. The people around the president are hunkering down to come up with this economic plan. He's going to unveil it in a speech. So that probably means a primetime speech, I'm assuming. Is there anything the current president could say that would make you either change your mind or say, yeah, people just don't know what he's about? Of course, it's all about the economy. Always it's about the economy. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we're going to check the mail, plus some odds and ends. And if you want to throw in your 2 cents, 800-259-5791. Meet you in 2 and 2.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water, with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Ah, but it is so bad that we're going to check the mail coming up in just a few minutes here. It's so bad that you have the CEO of Starbucks saying, listen, here's what we need to do. If you're not happy with what you're seeing in Washington, don't give them any campaign money. Don't give money to any of the congresspeople. Don't give money to Obama until they come up with a long-term deficit plan. You don't pay, they aren't happy. They need the money. Part of a politician's job is to raise money for the next run, for the party. Got to go to a lot of expensive dinners with rubber chicken. That's what happens. Give the speeches here and there. Say how you're going to turn things around. The hot button issues that we talked about, Bachman just flat out saying, hey, elect me president, it's under two. I'm getting that gas under two. Because she's trying to perk up people's ears. Same thing with what Perry said the other day about Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. However, that's been said for a very long time, as we just went into. But he was trying to stir the pot. He was trying to hit the hot button And that definitely is one. So what about it? What if you just didn't, give your couple of dollars? Would it make a difference? The problem with boycotts is not enough people participate in a boycott to make it what it's supposed to be. Crippling. So Howard Schultz has a good idea, but I don't know that it's, you can execute it. And for him, it's a brilliant idea because there's no limb that he's going out on to go and say that he gets some headlines. Here I am mentioning it. Other people have done it. I think I saw it on Fox and CNN, probably the usual suspects all covered what he had to say. And he's really been pushing this, saying cut off the spigot, and especially saying this to businesses. Let's not hurt or help another party. Let's just cut it all off. Let's just do that. And I think it's good conversation, but I don't think that people do boycotts well. I don't. Because you got, and but you think of the pipeline. You have businesses, you have other special, even though we don't do that anymore, special interest groups. And, you know, the whole thing there is, what's happening with the money? The money is to gain some of that carte blanche, that cachet, to the power base. So businesses want to do that. Unions, of course, we talked about unions at the top of this. Unions, they'll do it all day long because they need the politicians to come through for them. So not a bad idea, but the problem is really, really getting this support, having all these CEOs say, absolutely, absolutely, we're not going to do it. Because if you look at the political action committees, here's a crazy number. We could almost throw this and we can count, but we're going to just throw it out now. The Center for Responsive Politics, meaning contributions from business political action committees, you know how much? 2009, 2010, $334 million. If you go to the individual side of things from the business people, $1 billion almost. And that was split between both the Democrats and the Republicans. And with so many things that are just hanging out there in the, you know, blowing in the wind. I mentioned the immigration thing. That's one. The obvious things with the economy and the jobs and all that. I mean, if really you had 100% boycott or close to that, whatever that looks like, I think it would be crippling. I think there would be a response. But I don't see how you get that. I don't see how you strike back and say, let's see a fair bipartisan deal. I don't see that happening because there's no teeth in it. Good idea, makes for good rhetoric, conversation, all that stuff. But I don't think so. All right, without further ado, let's head to the mail.
The mail is here.
Ooh. Thank you very much. This one's from Rick, who says, yo, Kate, what's up with Rick Perry? He looks like a Ken doll, and the things he says are crazy. It was easy for him to jump on the back of Ron Paul, but just get a little nastier about Ben Bernanke so that he would be in the so-called news cycle. And then in New Hampshire, he told the people that he doesn't believe in global warming. He said it was a scientific theory that has not been proven. He went on to say to the crowd in New Hampshire, from what I understand, the taxpayer money, the billions or even trillions, is not where our money needs to be on a scientific theory that has not been proven and has more questions than answers. What do you think? Well, here's what I think. You have to look at where he was speaking. And he was at a breakfast, I believe. He was at a breakfast in New Hampshire with a bunch of business leaders who actually are known to be very strong environmentally. But there was somebody in the audience who asked a question, and threw out that whole National Academy of Sciences thing, so he shot back with that answer. The interesting thing is that his view is different from the other people who are running. Texas, for example, because everybody's going to point to Texas. If he's going to run on that record, it's just like Governor John Huntsman, any of them. You could go back to what they did in the past, and then with Perry, you go back to what there is now. And Texas releases more pollution carbon dioxide than any other state. Did you know that? That's, of course, the greenhouse gas, or at least the chief greenhouse gas, than in any other state in this country. Than in any other state. And see, global warming or going green or lack of information that backs some of these theories up, that is a big, big campaign issue. Still finishes a distant second compared to the economy, without a doubt. Without a doubt. All right, let's take on another one. This one is from Jack, listening to us in Brownsville, Texas. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I want to say that I enjoy your show. I heard you say something about nailing a football deal. What was that about? I only caught the tail end of it. I have to confess, I listened to you until I nod off, so I didn't catch the whole story. What are you talking about? All right. I was talking about the fact that we have football, and football starts up in less than a month, and we've got Nail the Score. So Nail the Score happens in our third hour of our show, Thursday really slash Friday morning, and randomly a game of the week is chosen in the NFL by our computer, and you get to call in or send it to us through the miracle of the Internet. You send us your score guess, and it's just like picking lottery numbers, only you don't have to pay the money. It's free for you to play, and you could win some fabulous prizes if you nail the score. You win some great prizes. Not could, you would win some great prizes from America Tonight. But easier said than done. I'm just going to warn you on that. Much easier said than done. Looks so easy. Anybody could pick those numbers. What are you kidding me? Oh. All right, let's head out to Ronnie in Utah. Yo, Ronnie, what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Hey, how you doing, Kate?
Good.
Well, you're talking about all the stuff that's going on. I figured I'd just make a couple of quick comments. But anyway, as far as the, you know, everything that's going on, you know, I'm so grateful that the president got done these bus tour and him coming out with his jobs package in September in Congress. And he says he's going to unveil it and they're going to, he wants to tell them, let's just get it done. Well, I imagine it'd be a job expansion. So when you go get your application, you're just going to put on top of it, what type of job are you applying for? And all you're going to do across the top, just put common sense. Thing you do, common sense. I mean, and another thing, you know, another good idea if you want to be a good job creator, you know, and we want to cut this debt, let's see if we can get us a national debt scoop shovel. I mean, that'd be a good thing. I think it's going to get so deep, you know, we're going to need a scoop shovel. And then another good thing to get the debt down would be to, you know, you talk about football. Nothing's greater than have a halftime event to have old Chucky Schumer out there singing that patriotic song on national deficit reduction.
I have to give you kudos for some creativity, Ronnie, in Utah.
Hey, thanks, Kate Delaney. You're great.
All right. Talk to you later. The shovel thing, of course, the reference to the shovel jobs. We're going to create more shovel jobs, and they're always shovel jobs. So if we only all had a shovel, then we could get in line, and maybe we'd get a job. Oh, my. Speaking of jobs, we're talking about the law and jobs. Anybody going to law school? I hope you have some money.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt Special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. A lot of you can relate to this. A lot of you have kids, smart, good kids, I threw the good in, who want to go on to different rungs of the ladder in higher education, and hopefully, you know, the old theory was you get out and you got this profession, you got the road, the path. It might take a couple of different turns, but at least you had that degree, that profession, one of those professions besides the medical profession. You know, the old joke, what's your son? Is he a doctor? Is he a lawyer? It was the law profession. Now, the numbers are crazy that are out there. According to Texas Lawyer Magazine, there are only jobs, not even jobs, for half of the young lawyers who pass the bar. You know, I come from a family of lawyers, so I know about this. I remember my brother taking the bar in New York, in Florida, and New Jersey. And there are jobs. There were jobs. And of course, it's all about the specialization and all that kind of stuff. But, wow, what is going on? So attorney Todd Shapiro joins us now on the show. Happy to have him on board. Todd, you're an attorney. But before we dive into these numbers, what made you want to become an attorney? And did you know, like I said, that there was this clear path?
Well, for me, I think my father's an attorney, and it was something I always grew up with. And I think I always knew the area of law that I wanted to go into, although it wasn't necessarily clear until I had gone through law school and done some internships and looked around for jobs. And I knew that the criminal area was the direction that I want to go. So I was kind of lucky in that sense that I always had a kind of a clear path to what wanted to do.
And do you feel like there's more, because you, since you're in the criminal game, do you feel like there's more opportunity there or no?
Well, I think the potential is there with the experience to be able to hang out your own shingle, so to speak, and try to generate your own business and be a one-man or a two-man or a small shop. But the problem is getting your foot in the door and learning how to practice in this area. It's a highly specialized area that you really have to have a unique set of skills to be able to be a trial lawyer, to be able to make arguments in front of a jury, and to understand local rules, local procedure in the area that you practice in. So in my opinion, if you want to be a criminal attorney, the only way to actually get the experience necessary is to go work for a district attorney's office or a county attorney's office and get the trial work that you'll need to be a solo practitioner. It's almost like working in the ER as a doctor. You're doing a residency where you get the constant repetition and learn what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And then ultimately, you own your craft a little bit and you figure out how to work things, and then you're ready to go. But it's very difficult, I would think, coming straight out of law school to open up your own shop, to hang out a shingle and be able to generate any business whatsoever.
Yeah. In some of the other areas of law, is there a problem because of the economy with what's happening? Lawsuits are down, even though people don't think that. Lawsuits overall are down. Not as many folks are suing each other because they don't necessarily want to use that income they have to go after somebody for more income and go through everything that you have to go through when you file a lawsuit. Do you think that's happened? Am I right on that?
Well, I think more than anything, the legal profession is not immune from the same ills that are causing problems for every profession, that it's just hard to find a job. I think that people that have jobs in the legal profession tend to hang on to them these days a lot closer and stronger, don't want to switch as much, don't want to take a risk when they've got a steady paycheck or insurance that's covering certain things. And so they're not as apt to maybe switch areas or areas of expertise. And so you don't have the openings and the opportunity that you may have had, say, 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Would you tell somebody, we just talked about the specialization thing, would you tell somebody if they asked you for advice, try to kind of hone in, scrape up, and figure out as you're in school what you really want to do, try to dive into a certain area, because that has to be a little bit easier?
Well, I think eventually you've got to find an area of expertise. Like anything else, you got to find your niche. But I don't know if you're ever going to figure that out in law school. I mean, I think in medical school, you eventually decide, do I want to go into orthopedics? Do I want to go into radiology? Do I want to be a certain particular type of doctor? With the legal profession, it's almost like unless you have a really strong sense while you're in law school that I want to be a tax attorney, or I want to be an estate lawyer, or I want to be a trial lawyer, a litigator, it's very hard to make that determination when you're just in school. And my advice would be try to figure out an area that you think you're interested in, try to find a job in that area, and then go from there. I mean, once you have that first job, it at least gives you some experience and an idea of what it's like to be an attorney, and then you can kind of go from there. I know plenty of lawyers that ended up switching midstream. They thought they wanted to be civil lawyers and then decided the criminal world was better for them, or they went to the DA's office and got the trial experience necessary, and then went and tried to find a job at a big firm and become a commercial litigator. So I don't think it's anything that you figure out while you're in law school, so to speak, but it's something that once you graduate or you're getting close to graduating and taking the bar, you really got to start to think, where is my specialty, where is my niche?
Yeah, I agree. You can check out Todd if you go to the website, shapiro-law.net. Todd Shapiro, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. All right, Todd mentioned that he was a criminal attorney. One of the, sadly, one of the worst cases I've heard of lately is this father accused of chopping off his 7-year-old disabled son's head, made his first appearance in court on Tuesday of this week. And he entered a plea, and I thought, what plea is he entering? Let me just guess. Let me give you a little setup here. Jeremiah Lee Wright admitted to killing his 7-year-old John literal. And this is a kid who, had cerebral palsy and was unable to speak or feed himself. And so he intentionally left the boy's, this is graphic, left the boy's head where his mother would ultimately find it. What kind of a sick nut does that? 30 years old, stands before a judge. So the judge set a September 16th arraignment date, right? And the prosecutors have until December to bring the formal charges against Wright. But, they got to level him. I think you got to go after everything with this guy. And this is a Louisiana deal, by the way. And he's got a capital defense project attorney. So this is where it gets dicey. And what Wright is saying is the only thing he knows are the allegations about the allegations is what he reads in the paper. So would this be a death penalty case? I'm going to say I think it should be a death penalty case. And I think in this parish, they're certainly going to look at all the evidence. Of course they're going to look at it. This is a guy who was a volunteer firefighter. And, this was a guy who by all accounts, initially when people would see him, looked like he was a regular kind of family guy, was fine with the kid, fine with the situation, but apparently he wasn't. So he beheads the boy, and then he, tried to tell the police when they found the head, found the situation, that it was a CPR dummy. And then eventually he said, well, I killed him. He said he just didn't look at the boy like it was his son anymore. It was just an inanimate object, which is so awful. And, of course, he had issues with the mother. So he purposely, as I mentioned already, put the child's head where she would see it. And what's so scary about this, when you were talking about criminal law and what's going to happen here, and this is a situation where there was domestic violence issues in the past. There were police that were called to the house. And this is a, if only we could have known kind of thing. I mean, how frustrating is that? It's got to be awful to care for someone in the situation they're in. But decapitating your own son's head, then displaying it for your wife, that is just cold, calculated, and deserves the death penalty. Am I being too harsh? Send me your thoughts on that or anything else that we talk about here on America Tonight by going to the website, americatonight.net. Click on the email and bada bing, in the words of Tony Soprano, you are in, my friends.